Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. We can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And welcome on in to the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. It's a daily sports talk show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Would encourage you to smash that like button, share the stream, helps out with the algorithm, and helps get the word out about student athletes and programs and different things that we typically don't talk about, or at least pencil in for topics of conversation. Case in point, yesterday, as Matt McClure's over here breaking stuff once again. Cobra, what's going on over there?
My bad, man.
It's all right. It's all good. Yesterday in the Sports Hub, a fun discussion there with Landon Fisher. And it all comes down to the shares. Got 7 shares on that episode there yesterday, over 1,000 views. We appreciate that, and just helps get the word out about these student athletes and programs. And in his case, fights coming up this weekend. And we've got another fun discussion in that realm here today, as well as Austin Manu. He'll be joining us here quarter past the hour on Fox Sports Aberdeen. As I'm David Tewksbury, we are joined alongside by the Cobra on this Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, sir. How are you?
Doing good, man. I'm doing good. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here in studio as always. NSIC football preseason poll that has officially been announced. That's right off the press. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Plus, the Class B state tournament continues. That'll be wrapping up today out in Milbank as they celebrate 100 years of Legion baseball. And the regional squad that we had is officially bounced. Groton Post 39, they got eliminated yesterday against Parkston Post 194, 11-6. Your final score there yesterday. Check out our website for more details of the SDGA Junior Tour Cup that was in Hillsview Golf Course. Big shout out goes to Aberdeen Roncalli's Mackenzie Wegehop. She was the winner there for the girls 14-15s. You can just check out our website for more details. We'll have more notes about that as time permits, coming up towards the back half of the program. Cobra does this thing called hissing from time to time right here on FSA when he's not breaking microphones. You good to go over there?
I'm good.
You're good to go. He's absolutely good to go. Never a dull moment. Never a doubt. Cobra will be riding shotgun with you folks tomorrow through the back half of the work week as I'm off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I typically take about a week or so off around the 4th of July, but with the new one, just didn't have that opportunity to do it. So taking a little time off here this week and a little family time, which will be a nice little reprieve before things get absolutely crazy. All right, let's get to the breaking news. This just came out not that long ago, actually within the last 5 minutes. The NSIC football preseason coaches poll that has officially been dropped. Maybe you want to get into this more tomorrow on the Sports Hub or towards the back half of the week. We'll have to wait and see how that all plays. But Northern State, they are officially ranked 8th as it pertains to the coaches. I sent out a tweet this morning and I said, here's how I think the coaches will vote. That necessarily wasn't the case. I was pretty close in a lot of these, maybe a difference of one or two here or there. But You've got Mankato, numero uno, picking up 11 of the 14 first-place votes. Augustana, number two. Duluth, three. Bemidji, four. And Sioux Falls, five. That's the top five right there. And any qualms with that? Top five?
No, I think I'm good on the top five for sure. I think you look at that. Maybe Bemidji State at four. I don't know necessarily. I think Sioux Falls maybe could be maybe four or even three, just with how they played last year. I was surprised when we talked to Matt Witwicky this summer. He was kind of had some question marks about that Bemidji squad.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surprised to see them at four.
Yeah, I had them at three, actually. So I just think their coaching staff has been so solid for so many years, and I just think they'll figure it out.
Sure.
And it's just kind of the name recognition. You know,
it's Bemidji State.
It's Bemidji State. That's what they do. So I had them as a three pick from the coaches. They said four. Sioux Falls, five. I said USF would be a four spot from the coaches' perspective. But for the Wolves, I'm thinking a little low here. 6-10. Wayne is six. Moorhead, seven. The Wolves at number eight. Winona, 9, Minot State, 10, and running out the back half, you've got CSP, 11, Mary, 12, SMSU, 13th, and the new kids on the block, Jamestown, number 14. So I said the Wolves, I thought the coaches would pick them 7. Coaches picked them 8th. I don't know, man. That's not that big of a difference between 7 and 8, but first thought in my mind is that's too low.
Yeah,
it's only a difference of 1, but I've got my Sharpie in hand right now. I'm saying they're finishing higher than 8th. I can guarantee you that.
I think so, too. I think when I saw 8th, I said, I could see them maybe 7th or 6th. But it's kind of funny. You look at these polls, and if Northern was 6th, we could make an argument for 5. It's just how it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I was looking at what Wayne's been doing the last couple years. They've been a model of consistency just with, 8-win seasons, 7-win seasons. Like, they've been a very solid team in the conference. MSU Moorhead, I think, I would have given Northern State the edge over them. I mean, they were 6-5 last year. Yes, they'd have the player of the year coming, or player of the year in the conference on offense coming back in Strand. But I don't know. I just think it takes more than just a QB sometimes to win in the conference. And Northern's got a lot of pieces. I like the defense. I think the defense is going to be one of the best in all of the conference, Northern's is. I think by the end of the year, they're going to be statistically a top three defense in the conference. But we'll just have to wait and see. I don't have a gripe about it. Eighth, it is what it is. It could be bulletin board material, but I think they could have been as high as maybe 6.
I think that's all fair. My main gripe, and this is no shot at Wayne State, but the Wolves have beaten them the last 2 years. And they're 6 and the Wolves are 8. And my thought is maybe a 50-50 that, and you say, well, you got down 18-0 or 19-0, whatever it was 2 years ago at the bank. You had to have that Herculean second half performance to win it. But last year, they really kind of dominated Wayne at their place. They won it late on that last second kind of knockaway, but they were up 28-14 in the second half.
Yep.
So if there's a gripe at all, it would be that. You could see Northern over Wayne, but I mean, heck, you beat Duluth last year. You beat Bemidji last year. Those are two teams you beat last year. And in theory, Northern, with their transfer portal class and their culture this year as it pertains to last, not forgetting that 0-4, 8 just feels low. And maybe that's me being a homer or the voice of the team, but we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. You hit the nail on the head. Perhaps some bulletin board material. But maybe if you're a coach, you'd say, hey, all those one-score games they won last year, they're not going to win all those games this year. And maybe that's the way you kind of justify that, perhaps. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's a good point there. Maybe because they did get on the right side of those one-score games last year. Is that going to be the same this year? I mean, it's a year-to-year thing. But I think that 6-8 range is where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And, they could get as high as, into the top three and when it's all said and done. I mean, I'd be interested to see where this team finishes up at the end of the year, because I mean, Minnesota Duluth, weren't they the preseason number one last year?
I believe they were.
And look where they finished. So it just, you never know with these coaches polls. And I think if you're Mike Schmidt, you look at that and say 8th, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's bulletin board material headed into this year.
All right. So 32 days away from kickoff down south there at Bob Young Field. This also came out yesterday, which kind of put a smile on my face. You always remember your first fight. You ever been in a fight, Cobra?
With my brother, maybe.
That counts.
Yeah.
You know, the first time that you clocked him?
Yeah.
The first time that he really kind of clocked you? You probably remember that. I definitely had a fight or two with my brothers back in the day. I'm the youngest of three. So, Gray Zabel, yesterday, he had his first fight in training camp. And it wasn't like this massive dust-up, but Derek Hall, defensive end for the Seahawks, he was holding Sam Darnold a little bit late. And you know what? That's a great way to ingratiate yourself with a veteran quarterback as a rookie. You come back and you say, you know what? We're not doing this. And he kind of got into a bit of a dust-up there with Derek Hall as Gray Zabel, his first fight. I don't know if it went to a decision or TKO or what have you. But I figured the fact that we're talking some MMA today, got to toss that out there. Gray Zabel defending his quarterback, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, you love to see that from the rookie, don't you? First-round pick. And, you know, you hear stories in training camp all the time about fights. And that was probably just a little one. There's some a lot worse ones that you've seen in training camp. But, yeah, you love to see your offensive lineman back up your quarterback as a rookie. And, you know, that's how you earn the stripes from your teammates, too. And he's not allowing anybody to hit Darnold late. And I'll tell you, I'm excited to see him in his rookie year. I think he's going to be spectacular.
I think South Dakota has gotten a couple more Seahawks fans, a couple more 12s out there. And I'm hoping that he plays on Thursday night there in that preseason opener against the Raiders. My thought is, why wouldn't you? He's a rookie.
He better play.
How many NFL snaps has he actually taken? Zero. Wouldn't you want to get his feet wet? But we'll see.
Hopefully he plays a couple series. Yeah, you don't want him out there for a whole half. But how about a series or two? I'd take that.
It would be nice to see. And finally, before we bring in Austin Mano here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, just saw this on social media here a couple of days ago. Ohio State quarterback Lincoln Kienholz. Of course, he played with Gray Zabel back in the day, I think. Or at least they're both peer guys anyway. They might have been on the same roster. Maybe one was a senior and maybe one was a freshman or a sophomore. But Lincoln Kienholz, he received an Iron Buckeye nod. That's an honor given to players who demonstrate the best work ethic, dedication, toughness, and leadership in the offseason. Is it a nothing burger? Is it something? Is it nothing? I don't know, but it's a nice accolade for a D1 quarterback. And again, hopefully he's getting that nod here.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I hear that quarterback competition has been heating up. You just don't know who it's going to be. But that is a great honor for Kienholz, and we'll see what he can do out there once they name the starting quarterback. Those quarterback competitions are just so tough, and I feel like in college football, because you just don't know until week one or week zero. Like, you know, maybe, but it's just the quarterback turnover in college football is crazy to me. Is it to you? Or
100%, and I think we might be seeing one here in town. It's going to be Brock Bogosi against Daniel Britt. It's an open conversation. It's an open competition at quarterback this year. So, you know, you're bringing in a guy for kind of a mercenary role there in Bogosi. This is his final year of eligibility. In theory, you know, if just looking at the 60,000-foot view from here, you typically don't bring in a guy like that for 1 year to sit on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to be pushing Britt pretty hardcore come fall camp. Now, if you're Daniel Britt, you got to push him right on back and take that role from him. Competition is a good thing. So, yeah, D2 level, D1, quarterbacks are kind of up for grabs.
It really is. Just when you watch a college football Saturday, and if you have a couple bad series or half, coaches are not they'll bring in the
it's
backup.
A fast leash, yeah, very quick leash.
Yeah, quick leash, thank you. That's the word I was like. Quick leash to bring in the backup. It's just how it is. And next thing you know, if he plays well, it's his job. It's crazy how it works in college football.
Very, very quick leash, no question about it. Coming up next on the program, Austin Mano. He'll join us live in studio after a quick timeout. We're rocking and rolling for a Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. And before we bring in Austin Mano here in just 1 second, I want to put this last thing to bed with the NSIC preseason poll. Big shout out to Jake Adams, NSIC preseason defensive player of the year in the North Division. And we said kind of off the air before the show started, yeah, that tracks.
That makes a lot of sense.
Second in the country in tackles. If he didn't get that, I might riot. But we'll see how it all plays out. Looking forward to it. 32 days away from kickoff down south there in Sioux Falls. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Austin Manu joining us live in studio. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Doing all right.
Good to have you here in studio. And we were kind of talking off the air that you watched yesterday's episode with Landon Fisher. He said that he's your buddy. How did he do on the air, his first installment of the Sports Hub?
I feel like he did all right.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm looking forward to this upcoming Friday night, or upcoming Saturday, pardon me, up there in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. You've got a matchup. And we were talking with Landon off the air about trash talk. There's some trash talk between all wrestlers all the time, I'm sure. Sometimes some wrestlers are quiet. Sometimes some wrestlers are loud. Before we get into, you know, kind of your upbringing in wrestling, are you a trash talker? You talk a little junk out there, or not so much?
No, I definitely turn it up a little bit. A little more nicer in practice and training, but going to have a little less respect out there for my opponent, you know what I mean?
Okay, fair enough. Gotcha.
For sure. And, you know, how did you kind of get into the MMA? We talked to Landon yesterday. He was a former wrestler and things of that. Was it something that you always wanted to do, you know, when you were, you know, growing up, or how did you kind of get into it?
So I've wrestled since elementary school, wrestled all the way up into high school, went to state and regional tournaments, traveled for some Olympic wrestling camps, stuff like that. Always gave me something to do, a good passion. You know, I kind of like the aspect that it's like you and it's still a team, but it's you and another guy out there, you know, but it's up to your team to bring your abilities and skills up to par to be able to bring home a win if it's a dual setting, stuff like that. But Logan Storley, being from Webster, is definitely one of the ones watching growing up, because I was in high school when he started fighting, you know. Definitely showing that grapplers can hang in that world almost better than some of the strikers in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, anytime we talk about MMA on the Sports Hub, and we don't do it very often, but back in the day, we've had Logan Storley on the program, and local guy, Webster guy. You're a local guy. You went to high school at Aberdeen Central, right? So you talk about your high school wrestling. What's kind of your style back in the day when you were in high school?
So I was a heavyweight in high school. Never had to cut weight, could eat what I want, kind of throw it around and use it, and the littler guys probably didn't like that so much, but I liked it because then I could bulk up for football. And I don't know, I'm aggressive when I get out there, honestly, and I feel like that's an aspect I'm going to bring into the cage. With the round still only being 3 minutes, I feel like it's a very ample amount of time to deal some damage and protect myself.
So would that have been the 285 in high school then?
Yes, it would have been 285, but I was weighing about 260.
Okay, that's interesting because the way I read it, or at least the way I would think it would be, like, oh, you're in the 285-pound weight class, so you got to be, like, right around that. You got to be 283, you got to be maybe 287, but you were doing it at 260. Did that give you an advantage or disadvantage?
Kind of both. Some of the bigger guys could definitely throw that extra little weight around, but I feel like the speed and agility, my flexibility definitely proves more valuable to me than a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay.
Now on Saturday, is this your first MMA fight, or have you been having a couple of fights? Or
this will be my debut fight. I was supposed to have my debut fight October of 2024. I ended up getting hurt in training, and it's taken about a year hiatus to get back to the point where I felt comfortable with competing and my skills again.
How does one get comfortable punching somebody in the face, or vice versa? I mean, I don't get it. It's so crazy to me.
A lot of it's like flinching or reacting. You know, if you know where not to be, or you can move. It's kind of a dance in a sense. You know, it takes time, takes training, takes repetition. You just got to put in the boring work sometimes people don't want to do. You know,
that's fair.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking a little bit off the air. I mentioned it, you know, your training, and you said it's been going well. Can you kind of just talk about being dialed in the training, maybe the differences from the start to the middle and to the taper? Can you kind of walk us through that?
So when I started knowing I was going to take a fight around this time, it would have been 3-4 months ago. So you kind of mentally start preparing for that. You know, I changed my diet, made sure my weight was going correctly, was lifting, going to practices consistently. And then camp vamped up about 8 weeks ago, and it's just been going hard. And Derek Washenberger with Hub City MMA, BBJ, has been really good with bringing in other people from other gyms for seminars or bringing people in that just practice mixed martial arts on their own and bringing different skills and stuff to the team, and able to really get the guys that do have fights or training the attention they need and the rounds they do need.
Austin Manu joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So obviously we're still not a full week away, but we're getting closer and closer. So what's this week for you like mentally? Because physically you're going to be fine. Okay, you know, you're in good shape, you diet, you exercise, you've been training. But I feel like, especially in a sport like MMA, where, like Landon was saying yesterday, he's out there trying to hurt somebody. They're trying to hurt him. Mentally, I feel like this is maybe one of the more mentally tough sports that you have to be in. So what's your mentals kind of looking like heading into this week?
I definitely view it as the same lines with wrestling, because sometimes you got to sit at a tournament all day and you know you got to bust the whole bracket just to get the one dude that you know maybe you have issues beating or something. But no, just make sure my diet's in check. I go on runs, keeping screen time low. If I'm doing anything, I'm trying to give it purpose, you know, not really just trying to waste this last little bit of time focusing. The mental thing is definitely, I don't know, it's a little nerve-wracking, but the fight schedule came out. I'm actually the second fight of the night, so it should be easier for me. Landon will be the last fight, so he's going to have to sit there for a little bit.
For sure, and, you know, I'm interested to kind of – we talked to Landon yesterday, and he said he remembers his first fight. He went out super hard, and he was almost gassed out of the gate. I remember talking to him about that. I was like, wow, you know, you put in all the time, and then, you know, the first round, and it's like, hey, where are my legs, and I can't feel. So is that something that you've maybe had discussions with him about, like, hey, not going out? You know, you're obviously being aggressive, but, you know, you want to keep the cardio because it's, you know, a long fight at the end of the day.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I got the extended gas tank still from wrestling, and maybe more than other people my size. But I'm definitely grateful I'm fighting second. Do not want to be later in the card. I could not imagine being locked in the locker room that long. But I'm sure after I get out there this first time, see the cage, get a little comfortable, it should be easier to compete after this.
So what's training look like for you?
In like the different disciplines, stuff like that?
Well, just in general, I mean, kind of getting ready for this week or even the disciplines. I mean, when we hear football players talk about practice, you know, it's 7-on-7s and you're going through, you know, watching film and, you know, those sorts of things. Wrestling is a little bit different, or MMA is a little bit different. So what does training or, I guess, practice look like for you?
Definitely a lot of smoothing out the rough edges, a little technique here and there, trying to get the patterns down you want to use, you know. If you have film or information on your opponent, maybe see how they fight, how they stand, you know. But amateur, there's not a lot of that out there. It's my opponent's debut fight as well. So there's not going to be a lot of information on either of us. So it's kind of a show up and see. But I'm definitely going to be a little more reserved with my gas tank. You know, I've been doing running, sprints. I practice jiu-jitsu multiple times a week, kickboxing, boxing, grappling. And again, Derek brings in a great group of dudes that have immense skills, you know, better jiu-jitsu than either me or Landon, you know, so it's great to have other people boosting us like that.
So what's like a round? How long is a round in a fight?
So an MMA round will typically be 3 minutes, and then a jiu-jitsu round would be 5 minutes.
So do you do, like, your training style, is it always in 3 and 5 minute increments to kind of get used to that kind of feel?
Yeah, sometimes if the practice is, like, a little accelerated, or even I like to work a little extra, you know. So I got 17-minute round in the other day just trying to see how far I could keep going until I was gassed, you know. Trying to hold positions to see where I could deal damage, because it's jiu-jitsu, you can't punch. But in my brain, I'm training to see where I could.
So how would you say being in MMA shape is different than wrestling shape? Then you said you played football, being in football shape. I mean, it's a different level of, you know, training, if you will, and there's different levels to this. You know, football, you want to be the strongest guy you can, you know, and wrestling, it's, you know, you're trying to be fit. And, you know, I feel like wrestling and MMA is kind of similar. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I never had to cut weight, but now I'm fighting 60 pounds lighter than what I weighed in high school, you know.
So holy moly.
My weight's not really been an issue, but it's definitely been the training and a nice balanced diet that has kept me in shape. I feel like the mixed martial arts training has put me in better shape than all the other sports, but I feel like it's because it incorporates such full-body workouts and then long and intense workouts, you know.
Was it difficult for you to lose weight, you know, being, you know, you said you lost 60 pounds. Was that hard?
Honestly, once I got the, because I was always working out and lifting weights, but I could never outwork my fork, you know. So I finally,
that's a good term,
got like the diet down, you know, eating clean proteins, clean carbs, stuff like that, and then it just kind of started falling off. And then once people start telling you you're looking good or you're doing good, it's just gonna boost your confidence, make you want to go harder, you know.
I think we need to make that a button bar sounder or something like that. I couldn't outwork my fork.
Yep.
I like that a lot. Austin Manu here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. What's your family think about this? Were they all in for you? Hey, give it a shot, this sounds amazing. Or was there some hesitation from them, like, hey, I don't want to see my kid get beat up or hurt or something like that? What was that kind of like? Was it a conversation?
So I have a lot of family members that are on board with it, but they kind of know me and how I was with wrestling and stuff like that, and I feel like they have a lot of confidence in me and my styles. And I don't know, at the end of the day, I'm an artist, and I feel like I'm gonna display my skills in a way that people haven't seen me move, you know. I don't make my training very public like that, or even some of my family members, you know. So definitely going to protect the face. My grandmas are a little hesitant on letting me go on out there, you know, but they're still giving me their support, you know.
For sure, yeah.
We talked to Landon about this yesterday. I asked you kind of the same question. Is having a social media presence a big deal for you, or, you know, kind of, you know, promoting yourself, if you will, you know, because I know that's, you know, a pretty big deal in the kind of the fight world.
Yeah, honestly, it's how you promote yourself. Like Landon said yesterday, you could have a great fighter that doesn't promote himself well and an average fighter that promotes himself very well, and he would have more opportunities just from the social media presence. I've had Instagram and Facebook before, but I've never, being my debut fight, I kind of switched my material just to promoting my fighting stuff and stuff like that. I've already pulled a few sponsors because it's all independently funded by yourself, you know. So it was nice to have some businesses to support me and, I don't know, other people on board with it. They see the vision, you know.
This may be kind of a dumb question, but how do you sell yourself? Do you go into, I'm just going to throw a random business out there. Do you go into Kessler's and you just say, hey, you know, I'm looking to get sponsors or something like that? I mean, I'm trying to, you know, get some eyes towards me. I mean, how do you sell yourself?
So with amateur MMA, it's a little harder because it's strictly a financial sponsorship. Uh-huh. There's not really much you can do besides posting on social media or giving shout outs at the event, or if you turn pro, you know, have a banner, have logos on your fight shorts, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it's just been selling myself, you know, getting them to get involved with something like that, because there's not a lot of places that sponsor stuff like that or even would be interested in it if they don't watch the sport at all.
Sure, know? Right.
So has your mindset changed? You know, you mentioned from, you know, 4 months ago you started training, and now we're the week of the fight. My guess is your mindset has shifted from first week of training to now.
Oh, for sure. I'm definitely trying to slow down. Even up to like a week ago, every time I think about it, I just start getting excited and hype. And I know we're supposed to stay cool, calm, and collected, so I'm really trying to just relax this last week, try not to think about it too much, just go through the motions. All the hard work has already been put in practice. You know, I just got to go collect and then go from there.
You're sounding a lot like Landon Fisher over here. I like that expression. It's a really good one because I think it's so true with just about anything you do. You know, let's say you're a lawyer. You know, you go out and you try a case. You're not going to ask a question that you already don't know the answer for. You know what I mean? Like, same thing in sports broadcasting. You've put the week of work into that broadcast. Now it's just time to collect and go out there and have fun, you know? So it's kind of similar in the MMA, you know, minus getting punched in the face and whatnot. But nevertheless, we'll take a quick break in the action. You got time for another segment?
Sure.
Absolutely. More with Austin Manu after this on FSA. Sports Hub continues on a Tuesday installment of the show on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Check out us on X there, Fox Sports 1420 AM at @_Cobra66 at David Tewksbury. Austin Manu is Twitterless or Xless, right?
Yep.
Or, yeah, I mean, I did see you had something there, but it was from like 2015. Yeah. You know, not very active on there. But you know, we're kind of talking off the air about the Hub City Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and MMA Jim? Is that the right way to describe it?
Yeah, Jim.
So, Derek, you know, obviously you're pretty close with him. Can you kind of talk about your relationship with him and how you got kind of sort of into, I want to say like under his wing or in his dojo, for lack of a better term, I suppose?
So, Yoke Bolin is a fighter from Hub City MMA. He's fought a couple times, and he knew it was something I've always wanted to do, and I talked about it, and then I really couldn't find a place or a coach where I felt comfortable enough where I didn't feel, I didn't feel like I was getting the runaround. I honestly wanted some good training and, like, some people who would go hard and give me what I needed if this was really what I was trying to do. And now he introduced me to Derek, and Landon was already training there, and they got a great group of guys there. Made me feel very welcome. You know, I was, like I said, I was a little overweight, out of shape, and then slowly but surely I just started feeling, I don't know, faster, quicker, cleaner. I don't know, all around positive vibes.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about Hub City. But once they introduced me to Derek and he could show, like, he cared, you know, he wasn't, or if you weren't getting something, you had a question or you're trying to work on stuff, you know, he's going to give you that attention and stuff you need.
Sounds to me like, yes, it's an individual sport, but it's also a team aspect type of thing as well. People that you're training with, trainers, those kinds of things. I mean, that's vital in prepping and preparation. Would you agree? And can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, I definitely am very grateful for the amount of, there's some older gentlemen at the gym. We got kids that are 16, 18 that just have that fire still and are willing to train and go hard. And it's just, I don't know, they have equipment there. If some people don't have their equipment, I didn't have my own equipment for starting off, you know, so it's just very, very helpful. You know, if you ain't got the means, but you got the heart, they're going to help you, build you up so you can get to the point where I am today. You know, amateur fighter, sponsored, and I haven't even fought yet. So looking forward to possibly even trying to go to pro with Derek, you know.
What kind of equipment do you need? I mean, golf, you got to have a full deck of clubs there in theory. I mean, I didn't have a full sack of clubs for a long time, but what does that look like?
It's how much you want to spend, you know, but once you get, you need your rash guards, shin guards, ankle bracelets, hand wraps, boxing gloves, MMA gloves, my mouth guard. So you get the custom laser cut mouth guards for like $80, you know. You get your cup.
So it's not like throwing it into the hot thing from back in the day from high school football, hot boiling water.
See, I've train with those sometimes and you just end up choking on it. You can't get it out. It's terrible. I forgot my good mouth guard the other day and I complained the whole practice.
Yeah.
So what would you say was the biggest challenge for you then? I know you said, you know, you were maybe a little bit out of shape to start, but, you know, how did you kind of, you know, get comfortable, if you will, with the whole different style of training and things like that? There was obviously similarities there, but what would you say the biggest challenge was for you?
Honestly, it would have been just stepping into the gym the first time. You
really?
Know what I mean? For a lot of guys will talk about it and won't do it, or they want to get in shape or fix their life, do whatever, you know. And then it's just, you got to take that risk, you know. Having ex-grappling background and stuff like that, I was very confident in my skills up to that point, but definitely humbling to think, you know, used to be really good at wrestling, and then if you're not so sharp. And then, of course, the dynamics of it change. You know, with wrestling, you're trying to sprawl back, get your legs back. You're not trying to be on your back. Where jiu-jitsu, you know, sometimes in your back, you're in a winning position, you know.
Mm-hmm. Austin Manu joining us here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. That's kind of an interesting transition. How do you score a fight? Because it's not always knockout. It's not always submission, right? How does one gain points, if that's the right way to describe it? Or is that not even an aspect of it?
This score, I'm not exactly sure the details, but I know it's punches thrown, kicks thrown, how well you're defending yourself, if you're controlling the match, you know, if you got them, if you get them on the ground and then get control, how long you're riding them, you know, remaining on top.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting.
For sure. And you mentioned that the guy that you're fighting is also a debut fight. Are you watching, you know, it's probably tough to even get film on something like that, you know, so do you really even focus on that at all, or are you kind of more focused on yourself here?
Yeah, definitely more focused on myself. I know what I can do and my abilities. It's more or less going out there and trying to see how he's trying to move for the first little bit, and then set up my plays and my game plan and just work my game from there.
Do you visualize the fight at all, or is it kind of more so in the moment? Like, how does that all work?
Yeah, you definitely can't plan a fight because it's situational completely, mm-hmm. you know, but definitely you try to prepare for situations you feel like you'd find yourself in, or again, if he's southpaw or standing normal, he's going to throw his punches different. So you just got to, I play it. I wouldn't want to see the film, honestly, because okay. he might not fight you like that. He could have prepared for that fight for that guy different. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it might do more bad than good, you know. I just want to work on my game, bring my game. I know what I have, you know, so I feel like if I'm bringing all this, you better have something back there else.
Gotcha. Done. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. It's interesting. It's like you would think more information better, but not always the case. You don't want to have too much information because it might get into your own head or something like that. It's kind of a feel thing. You talk about being an artist, it's a feel. It's you're in a, kind of that flow state, if you will, or state mm-hmm. of flow. Austin Manu joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We asked Landon yesterday about the tattoos. So what do you got? What's the meaning behind some of these ones? Is it like a prerequisite to be an MMA? You got to have like 94 tattoos?
I'm definitely a big
72
tattoo guy. I got 66.
Wow.
But a big 66.
It's a lot.
Big tattoo guy. I got some for relatives that have passed, you know, a bunch of accolades to my family and some of my past, you know. I enjoy tattoos for sure, body art. I've gotten some here in town at Wasted Ink. Started getting them when I was 18 and haven't stopped. Definitely want to keep going, you know. Feel like it makes me unique, express myself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you a superstitious guy? We're big on superstition here on the program. Were you big at football, like before a game? Was it similar in wrestling? Is it going to be similar, you know, on Saturday?
Superstitious to what?
Just kind of like your...
Your routine.
Definitely going to do the same thing, you know, warm up, hitting the pads, and then I'm probably going to try to lose myself in some music. It's normally what I do in wrestling, was just stay warm, stay moving, and, you know, prepare as much as I can. Try to stay calm.
Were you a big, like, I got to eat the same meal kind of guy?
I'm definitely already prepping my meal for the weekend, you know, because I want to make sure I eat clean, because if I don't prep, then, you know, tacos or cheeseburgers sound pretty good.
So Big Mac is definitely out for you this week. Gotcha. Austin Manu on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You know, I've always been curious about the whole blood aspect. You know, we were talking about that off the air yesterday, and that's one of the, like, 94 reasons I would never get into MMA is I'm freaked out by the sight of blood. You not so much, or are you? I mean, you're rolling around on the canvas, and it's maybe you're still around somebody else's blood from the previous bout.
Yeah, so I've been split before. I'm not too queasy on blood, you know. I don't really think about it, to be honest. Uh-huh. I know we all have to test to go in there, so I know everybody's clean, but I get super sweaty anyway, so I feel like I wouldn't want to be rolling around with me super sweaty, you know.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's kind of how I am too. It's like if I feel bad for the people that work out next to me because I'm like
in the general vicinity.
Yeah, in the general vicinity because yeah. It looks like I jump into a pool. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious. We asked Landon this, and I'll ask you. You know, you're trying to hurt somebody in the ring. You know, it's a little bit different than when you're in the wrestling. You're obviously trying to win, but you know, you're trying to hurt the opposing person in the ring. I mean, that's a different kind of mentality than maybe you've been used to in the past.
Oh, for sure. Wrestling is definitely more trying to control the match, score points. But MMA is definitely going to be more protect yourself and deal damage. I'm going to be opportunist, you know. It's only going to take one for him to slip his head or move his hand for me to connect. And if I'm not feeling the best up top, you know, I got my wrestling background. I feel mm-hmm. confident on the ground. That's watching Logan. He would be losing fights, and then he'd take it to the ground and secure the win.
Did you kind of, like, look up to a guy that's in, like, the UFC or anything like that? Or, you know, maybe not look up, but, like, guys that you follow? Are you big into that UFC kind of thing as well?
I have some family around Webster, so it's definitely Brock Lesnar and Logan Storley, just because, you know, them being local and knowing some of their family and people that have been around them definitely got me interested in the sport, you know. And then I liked the aspect of DC and, like, the ex-wrestlers and stuff that are in the sport, and it just brings that – I don't know, I feel like grapplers almost dominate the sport, you know.
In your opinion, why do you think, you know, a lot of wrestlers, whether in college and high school, go and do MMA? Why do you think that, in your opinion?
I feel like it's some of them miss that fast-paced action, to be 100% honest, because there's nothing else I've found besides, you know, riding a motorcycle or driving a car fast that gets the adrenaline going like that, you know.
Or getting tattoo number 67.
Right.
There you go. Maybe one or two more here with Austin Manu on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So you're an amateur now. I'm sure you'd like to go pro. How many matches do you have to try to get in before you feel comfortable taking that next step?
So you can turn pro whenever you want. It's average. It's about five, mm-hmm. six. You know, you want to get a couple under your belt because once you turn pro, you can't go back to amateur. And, you know, so there's some fighters are journeyman fighters. So, like, they're just going to be in the LFA or the PLF forever, mm-hmm. you know, while these other guys that go on to the UFC go up. I would definitely like to get paid to fight eventually. Definitely not something I'm looking to do for a career, but definitely something I'm trying to ride until the wheels fall off.
Sure.
For sure. And, you know, kind of just, you know, walking into the steel cage for the first time. Well, what's that going to be like for you?
It might be a little nerve-wracking. I'm super excited. A lot of my sparring practices or partners in practice will back up. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to be able to have that cage there to control the fight, keep him cornered, you know.
Well, we're going to be following yourself as well as Landon up there right around the Devil's Lake area. It's actually just south of Devil's Lake, I think.
Yep.
They're calling it St. Michael, North Dakota. But looking forward to it this upcoming Saturday. Good for you. You're number two. You don't have to worry about waiting all night long. Appreciate you popping in studio. Wishing you nothing but the best of luck, and go get them.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Absolutely. Austin Manu joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. If you're just dialing in now and you want to check out the rest of the discussion, you can check it out on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page at the end of the show, which is coming up here in just a couple minutes. We'll come on back and take a look at some Class B numbers, as well as the SDGA Junior Tour Cup wrapping up at Hillsview Golf Course there in the capital city. That and more is coming up next on FSA. We've talked more MMA this week than maybe ever before on the Sports Hub, and it's been very, very fruitful. And we were talking off the air about the promotion of the event, and they were saying that they basically don't get the word out until, like, the day before the fight. Which
doesn't
is kind
that
of
sense.
That's kind of kooky, right?
Well, my whole thing is, hey, what if I got an aunt and uncle in Florida, and they want to watch the fight, and they can't watch it because you're getting the link less than 24 hours before the fight.
That's what Austin was saying. He said, you know, they give us the link to check it out about a day before, and I said to you off the air, they're focused on winning. They're trying to, you know, win the match.
Yeah, they're trying to rip somebody's head off.
Yeah, they're not worried about trying to get the word out.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, I mean, we're wishing him and Landon nothing but the best of luck up there in St. Michael, North Dakota. I think that's kind of ironic. It's St. Michael, North Dakota is right next to Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
I was trying to find where it was. I was like, I saw St. Michael's, Devil's Lake. I'm like, what's the difference?
Now you've got one St. Michael, that would be up there, and then Devil's Lake would be way, way, way down there. I'm talking about on the spiritual side of things now. Devil's Lake.
I see what you're doing
Saint
there.
St. Michael.
Good stuff.
Come on now. But, yeah, pretty wild how that all works out.
Did he say outdoor venue, too?
He did, yeah.
Wow, that's got to be pretty cool.
I mean, you've got a beautiful sunset in the... What would that be? Not the periphery, but on the horizon. So, pretty cool.
Yeah, two guys, I'll tell you, that are just dialed in just from talking to them. I feel like I've learned a thing or two. I got a lot of friends that are into the whole MMA. I'm sure you do as well.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And I just didn't know much about it. I know, you know, about the training and how hard that can be and cutting weight and diet and things. But, you know, you got to be a different level of dialed in. And you know, Landon and a guy like Austin, those guys are dialed in. I can't wait to see how they do over the weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing the results.
Good luck, fellas. All right, Class B State Legion tournaments wrapping up today in Milbank. Unfortunately for us within the region, one team will not be partaking in the championship game. That's Groton. They lost yesterday to Parkston 11-6. Groton, they are officially eliminated with the win. Parkston 194. They advance to the next round of battle. Dakota Valley, who defeated Del Rapids post 65, handing them their first loss of the tournament. 14-8, your final score there yesterday. But even with the loss, Del Rapids post 65, they advance to the championship game. They'll take on the winner of Parkston and Dakota Valley at 1 o'clock. That'll be the title game in a winner-take-all contest. So every team has at least one loss in this double elimination tournament. So it's going to be winner-take-all later on this afternoon.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just curious. They lost and still advanced. So that game just not mean much for the other team?
That's the way I kind of read it, because Dakota Valley, they did lose before. So if they would have lost, they would have been out.
Okay.
So, you know, in theory, At least that's the, because then Parkston would be taking on
the team that won.
Right, because Dakota Valley had one loss already. So if Dakota Valley would have lost, they would have been done.
Yes.
So Del Rapids, they put themselves in a position with no losses before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were the only team that was lossless.
Okay.
So just kind of, it was kind of a, this can only help us sort of game
situation
for Del Rapids.
Well, yeah, that makes it, now the pressure's on, because if they lose, they're out. So, you know, that was a, kind of a big game for them, because if you go and win that game yesterday, you could lose twice. So, I mean, that's interesting. And I got to give a shout-out to Groton Post 39 as well. You mentioned the run they had, man. What a run. They went through the regions. I was kind of following it a little bit there. And to get so close in the semifinals, what a job from Coach Severson there. And Groton making a really nice run. We'll see if we could talk to him later on this week.
There you go. So wishing them nothing but the best going forward in the future of next summer. And it'll be Championship Tuesday over in Milbank today. The SDGA Junior Tour Cup that wrapped up yesterday in the capital city of Pierre at Hillsview Golf Course. And I'm kind of choking and laughing to myself because I was watching an interview. Gray Zabel was doing an interview with one of the local guys out there in Seattle. And they're like, yeah, you know, you're from Pierre. And he didn't correct him. I was kind of disappointed. I was like, do you not correct the guy? But he called him Pierre.
Should have corrected him. Yeah. I've been corrected with that before.
100%. That was the first thing I moved to South Dakota was, by the way, Rapid City and Mount Rushmore. That's on the complete western edge of the state.
Yeah, you're nowhere close.
You're nowhere close. And it is Pierre. It's not Pierre. But big shout-out goes to Mackenzie Wegehop of Aberdeen-Roncalli High School there. She is the medalist, if you will, in the girls' 14-15s there. She finished three strokes ahead of Addison Saylor. Kensley Heath, I believe she's of Sisseton, if memory serves correctly. She was the medalist in the girls' 12-13s there. So check out our website for more details there. And the Twins, yes, they fall yesterday to the Tigers 6-3. And the NSIC football preseason poll is out. We'll get that posted to our Facebook page as well. Cobras back at it on a hump day installment of the Sports Hub tomorrow on Fox Sports Aberdeen.